Adams of the Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the
lobby. Oh, don't you know it's true? Time to talk movies and more. Alan Adams joins us for Pass the Popcorn. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me, as always.
We did the Herman High tag team there with you coming in as Joshua left.
That's right. That's right. He was just a couple years behind me back in the day.
And we were talking about it. I love their space down there.
Isn't it great, man? Like, yeah. And it's one of those things where it's become kind of a semi-regular thing for some of us, where when the opportunity presents itself and everybody's free, we'll just go down there and just rent one of the theaters and just watch something.
Yeah.
Last month we did Gremlins, because, you know, 'tis the season.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know, they've done such a great job. And I wondered if the whole lack of variety downtown was going to come up, because it has been a topic of some conversation. And honestly, they handled it with a lot more grace and class than I think I would have.
Yeah, and again, look, I've aged out of a lot of demographics here, but you know, I look around and I see a lot of different options for people downtown if you know where to look.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just like, I'll be honest, I didn't read the story, so I can't speak to it. But it just, I don't know, it just feels like someone maybe didn't do a whole lot of looking. Like,
yeah,
that's...
And look, I can tell you this, as somebody who grew up in Bangor, boy, compared to what it was like when I was in my 20s and 30s, it's not even the same town.
Oh yeah, when I first moved to Bangor after coming back from college, this is the late 90s, it was a ghost town.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing.
Nope.
Nothing.
Roll up the sidewalks at 9 o'clock.
Yep. And it was just like, you know, and as a person, you know, 21, 22 years old, it was frustrating. Yeah. Like, it's like, you just didn't have anything to do. And that is not the case now.
No. No. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
We know that. We're on Team Downtown already.
That's right. And, but yeah, as always, like, I'll take any opportunity I can to shout out Queen City, because they are they're a great place.
Yeah.
You know, Josh and Tiffany are great. The space is great. The food is great, and I love that place exists.
Yeah.
Man, I love it.
Well, and I was saying to Josh, I think you and I talked about it when they first opened. I said, "Geez, I hope this works, because
right.
It's such a cool idea." And 5 years now.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, I mean, the big concern for me was, is there, you know, is there a, it's a relatively small population base. Like, mm-hmm. are you going to be able to make something like that's, you know, admittedly kind of niche? Are you going to be able to make that work? And they've worked really hard to make that happen, you know, and they've cultivated a real community, and, you know, hats off to them. Like, it's, you know, stuff like that doesn't happen by accident.
Exactly.
We'll put it that way.
Yeah. It takes work and creativity. So we tip our cap to them as well. I wanted to mention too, because we haven't been on, because we haven't done a live Monday show in a while.
I was going to say, it's been a minute.
Yeah. But man, we had so much fun, as we always do. It was so great to have the Adams Family New Year's Day Bash back this year. It is one of our absolute favorite events of the year. And it's so great to see everybody. You and Sheridan do an amazing job. And it was just so much fun.
Man, well, I mean, the lion's share of the credit to my lovely bride, of course. But yeah, like, and it was funny. We were talking, and it was like 4 years. It had been 4 years.
God.
Because the last one we had done before this was January of 2020. You know, and, you know, those first couple of years we missed for obvious reasons. And then last year, you know, 2 weeks prior, our ceiling collapsed due to an ongoing water incident that has only just recently been fully rectified.
Sure.
But yeah, you saw it. Like, our new kitchen is lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It just cost us a year of our lives, but, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was so nice to just have people back.
Yeah,
you know,
and look, I'll say it, just the most fun people to hang out with.
We've assembled quite a collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's a wonderful and weird combination of people, but like, it everyone just sort of fits, which is really kind of lovely.
Yeah. And Abby and I were talking about Stella. And what a wonderful hostess she is. And how she's mellowed.
Yeah.
She still gets excited when there's somebody at the door, but then, man, at one point, there are about 20 people standing around, and Stella's on the rug under the table, taking it all in. watching the world.
Yeah, she's a good girl. Like, she's, you know, and again, she gets fired up anytime anyone comes in. Like, that's just what she does. You know, she's grown to the point where, like, I think it registers for her after a certain number of people have arrived. She's like, oh, well, this is happening. So, I mean, I guess, like, I'll still give a bark or two to let you know someone's here. But after that, I'm just gonna go back and sit under the dining room table and hope someone drops something.
Yeah, as long as no one overstays, they're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, no, she is not afraid to escort you out.
Yeah.
If it comes to that. So it's nice to have someone with that sort of attitude in the building.
So you were saying, yeah, you didn't see any movies this week, but there's some movie news, movie business with the Golden Globes, such as they are last night. What did you take from last night's awards?
You know, it was interesting. Like, because this is the first year, I think, that I feel like I don't necessarily have my finger as fully on the pulse as I've had in the past. Like, there were a number of movies that I haven't seen, you know, and I'm aware of the discourse surrounding them and whatnot. So that was, you know, so I was really curious as to how the experience of the Golden Globes was going to be for me. Unfortunately, it did not start off strongly. Man, I don't know who Joe Coy is. I don't know how far down the list they got before they were able to hire someone to do this gig. But it was too far. It was too far down the list.
Really?
I'm not familiar with his stand up, so I can't speak to that, but he was in no way fully prepared to operate in this particular room. He joked about it himself. He got the job like 2 weeks ago. Like, it's not like it's not like he had a ton of time to prepare. But it's still like, I'm not necessarily a big proponent of the, you know, I don't value award show hosts as much as some do, but you need somebody. Like, you need something to sort of I guess the thing is, if the monologue is going to be bad, just don't do one.
Right, right. That's not required.
Yeah.
Get to the awards. That's what people tune in to see, the awards.
Yeah, and if you're going to be funny, like, that's great. Or even, you know, and I run very hot, cold with Ricky Gervais, but you can't say the dude wasn't interesting. Like,
people
tuned in to see what he was going to say.
Right.
People tuned in to find out who the hell Joe Coy was, which, you know, sounds mean, but, like, I mean, that's just the truth. Like, you know, I'm someone who's fairly tuned in entertainment wise, and I have only a limited idea. Like, I'd heard the name, but I didn't know what his deal was, and I can't imagine I was alone.
And now that you know,
yes, I will not be seeking out Mr. Coy's work.
Okay.
But, you know, it was interesting. Like, you know, this is the first, you know, the Golden Globes, the award show is back. It's owned, it's now a subsidiary of Dick Clark Productions. which I was unaware of until I started doing a little bit of research, because it was like, because when the first award recipient thanked the Hollywood Foreign Press, I'm like, is that right? Are they still? And they are not. The Hollywood Foreign Press is not the official voting body for the Golden Globes anymore.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's because they had basically had to hand it over because they're, you know, terrible in so many ways. I will say, I don't know exactly who makes up the voting body at this point, but yes, I know it is not strictly an HFPA joint anymore. So there's that, and so, you know, and there were quite a few speeches that were prepared by people who clearly also were in a similar boat to me, which is fine.
I'd like to thank whoever voted for me, whoever you are.
Whoever is responsible for me holding up this little trophy, thank you. But that being said, the awards themselves, I thought, were, like I said, like, interesting, because I'm not super familiar with a lot of the work being done, but the big awards, I'm not surprised by who was sort of named the winners of these various things. Tell you what, apparently I really got to get to see Poor Things.
Yeah.
Not that I wasn't going to, because like, I love what Yorgos Lanthimos does. He and Emma Stone are a really wonderful sort of pairing. But apparently whoever votes for the Golden Globes agrees, because...
Now, is that here? Is it around here yet?
I haven't seen it.
No.
Like, I haven't seen it. It's, but it's one of those films that I think, in, you know, in standard sort of award season parlance, basically got a week,
right,
you know, last month, and is going to go into a wider release probably sometime in the next, you know, few weeks would be my guess. When it does, look, Yorgos Lanthimos directs Emma Stone in a gender-swapped riff on Frankenstein. Like, you got me, you know, and Willem Dafoe's in it, and yeah. Mark Ruffalo, you know, it's just like, it's this wonderful collection of performers, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, obviously that's going to be good. But with Emma Stone winning Best Actress in a Drama, and with Lanthimos winning Best Director, you know, it's like, yeah, it's Best Director musical comedy,
yeah,
which... again is weird. I didn't get quite the stench of category fraud that I think we've had in the past sometimes with the Golden Globes, but yeah, that was so I liked and you know that those made sense to me.
Big night for Oppenheimer, and that's no surprise.
Yeah, that's no shocker. Cillian Murphy, Chris Nolan, like, you know, those folks, they're very much award season darlings, and you know, by all like sort of quantitative measures, in terms of like nominations and awards, like Oppenheimer's basically lapping the field at this point. Like, they're just like everyone has sort of coming to an agreement that this is sort of the movie, you know, and there are some people who've got their issues with that, and that's fine. I loved it, so I get it.
And then it sounds like they made up an award for Barbie because they had to give something.
To be fair, I believe the new awards were in the book. Were in sort of because it was because it's the, I forget what it's like. I've already forgotten what it's called, but like, you know, big box office movie or whatever, right, the hell. And then they did best stand up performance as an additional category as well. Although, you know, the trot the nominees out, and it's like, oh, these guys were all great 20 years ago. What are we doing now? but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, like, look, I don't hate the idea of creating some sort of populist category for the Golden Globes. Like, it's that, because it's that kind of award show. Sure. Like, it's very much built around that sort of ideology. You know, I remember a few years ago, the Oscars tried to do something similar, and the backlash was immediate. And I get that. Like, it's a different, like, the Oscars are a different animal.
Right.
In so many ways. And so I.
But what does this mean for Barbie,
you know,
as far as the Oscars go?
You know, I don't know. I think, and again, not knowing the full extent of the voting body, I do think that it gets a little muddy with comedy. In the Golden Globes, yeah. Like, just because for any number of reasons, I think a lot of people in the Academy specifically, I think a lot of people really liked that movie. I think they love Greta Gerwig. I think they are going to try to make it happen. Whether they do or not, I mean, like, Oppenheimer looks like a juggernaut. Don't sleep on Killers of the Flower Moon.
Right.
Man, Lily Gladstone's speech was beautiful. Like, she led off by speaking briefly in a Blackfoot dialect that she knew. She wasn't fluent, but that was something that she had learned as a child. She is the first woman of indigenous descent to win a Golden Globe. Like, it's a big deal. You know, and deservedly so. Like, she's phenomenal in Killers of the Flower Moon.
What about a movie that seems to be picking up some momentum, got an award for Paul Giamatti last night, The Holdovers?
You know, it's interesting. Like, it's, you know, you think about it, and it's like, you want to be a little, like, it's like, oh, whatever, you know, a little, you know, these sorts of movies don't necessarily win awards anymore. Like, the way they did, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But Alexander Payne has a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
People love Paul Giamatti. The young woman, Divine Randolph, am I getting that right? I don't remember.
I think so.
But who won for Best Supporting Performance. You know, it's like, okay. So it's interesting because a movie like that, performances like that, winning at a show like this, I think, is indicative of perhaps don't know, a wider spread of interest than I might have expected.
Mm.
I think you have to consider that movie to be a dark horse in a number of categories for sure. Like I said, you know, the Academy's always been pretty kind to Alexander Payne, and you know, with good reason. He's made a lot of really good movies. He made a lot of really good movies with Paul Giamatti, you know, and the two of them together. It seems like the sort of thing that makes sense. Now, do I think they're going to be able to overcome what I anticipate will be a fairly heavy push from some pretty deep-pocketed outfits? Whether we're talking about, you know, I think I will say I think it's good for a lot. I think it's good for the field that Coda won Best Picture. So Apple has their Best Picture Oscar. Because otherwise, like, I can't even imagine the amount of money they would be spending to make this happen. And they may still, like, you know, it's, but again, I mean, it's Scorsese, it's DiCaprio, it's De Niro. Like, it's one of those movies that I think will be well received by Oscar voters. But again, like, you've got generational filmmaker telling a capital G, capital M, great man story, you know, stylistically interesting, great performances. I think what we saw with Oppenheimer is probably going to be reflected.
You think something like The Maestro slips through the cracks, gets the nominations, but can't pull out a win?
I don't think The Maestro is gonna. And it's funny. That is one I saw. Like I did see. I saw that the weekend before Christmas. We sat down and watched it on Netflix. And look, I don't have any sort of real connection to Leonard Bernstein. I don't know much about him other than, you know, the sort of like the three line
right
like bio. So I thought it was, I mean, I thought I was engaged by the movie. Cooper's great. You know, the prosthetic stuff, I mean, I think that was Much Ado About Nothing in a lot of ways. You know, he's a talented filmmaker, man. He's a talented dude. I think it was the wrong year to make a movie about a capital G, capital M, great man,
right.
Spanning, you know, a biopic with stylistic differences between past and present, like switching from black and white to color. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of parallels between The Maestro and Oppenheimer sort of stylistically. And the truth is, and this is by no means meant to sort of disparage Bradley Cooper's talent, but you're going up against Chris Nolan, man.
Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, you're good. Like he's like one of the best ever. And there's no shame in, you know, in sort of falling behind to someone like that. But I think Cooper thought he had it with this one. Like, you know, I think this was one where he was really taking a swing. And I think circumstances may have undermined him a little bit.
Now, Wonka had some nominations. I know you talked about that with us. You liked Wonka. You liked Timothy Chalamet's performance.
You know, it's funny. It's weird how certain performers become so polarizing. Mm. Like, you know, there's no one who's lukewarm on Timothy Chalamet. Like, you either like him or you loathe him. Like, there's no like, like, you know, no one's like Chalamet's so-so. And I get it. Like, there's something very distinct about him. I will tell you one thing that I can speak to. He needs to get someone who's maybe a little bit. He needs to get someone with a better aesthetic dressing him. Dude looked like an ice dancer last night, and you know, and not in the fun way. But yeah, like, you know, that's a movie that. See, that's a movie that could have potentially made some noise at another time.
Right.
But I think we're kind of past movies like that getting major reward. Like it'll probably get like it'll get a couple of below the line nominations. Right. You know, probably some musical stuff. The songs are pretty good. The score is pretty good. So we'll see it get some attention that way. But. I can't imagine it having any real shot at winning anything.
Have you seen May December?
You know, I haven't. And The one thing that I keep hearing about, and it's like, because I saw it pop up when it first dropped on Netflix, and I was interested, but the truth is, like, that the story that it's, you know, that it's based on, not based on, there's a whole, you know, controversy right, around right. that, but it's really kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, you know, female teacher seduces 13-year-old student and gets pregnant, goes to jail, comes out and marries him, and we're all supposed to just be like, okay. Like, it's just, it's just a little too ick for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, I think a good deal of that sort of ickiness comes from the fact that, like, this happened. Like, it's not like they're making up a story. Like, this is something that happened. And I know that the gentleman in question has made some noise in recent days about feeling exploited
right.
By the sort of the taking of his story. And I get it. Like, you know, like, leaving aside the weirdness of all that. But you also have Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore, like yeah. you've got, I mean, and both of whom are apparently phenomenal in the movie. And so, like, I'm going to have to see it, I think, to be able to feel like I'm, you know, I've fully embraced the year in film. But I got to say, I'm not necessarily looking forward to it.
And I don't know anything about it other than it's got a great cast. I don't know much about Saltburn.
You know, Sheridan and I were talking about this the other day, and we almost watched it the other night. It is, by all accounts, a very, I saw it described as, like, the first half is a very compelling and biting social satire, and the back half is just bat crap bonkers. and so it's like, you know, you hear something like that, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I do want to see this movie. But, you know, Rosamund Pike is great. Bear Keoghan he's been good in everything.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you see young actors and for whatever reason they pop, you know, and he pops, and I'm not even sure why. And I think that's the key. Like when someone has that sort of, you know, they're compelling in that way that you can't necessarily put your finger on. You're like, oh, it's not because you're, like, you know, super handsome or you're super method or what have you. Like, you just have it, which sounds like something a studio executive would say in 1945. but it's true. Like, it that sort of screen presence, that sort of charisma, that matters, and it's real, and some people have it and some don't, and he seems to have it. So I'm looking forward to seeing Saltburn. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he does going forward in the future.
And I was just checking to make sure I have the date right. We're 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Oscar nominations.
Yes, I believe that is correct. It'll be interesting to see. I will be shocked if they don't go the full 10 for the best picture slate. Just because there are enough movies out there that, I mean, they're not going to win, but they've got enough champions out there where they'll get the nod.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that something like, well, I mean, I think Saltburn's a pretty good example. Like, I think it's got a shot, even though, you know, I don't think it's necessarily received as much attention. But I think it's got a real shot. And I think the Academy is starting to feel like they're ready to engage with these sorts of stories. It's you know, it's Emerald Fennell's follow up to Promising Young Woman. You know, so I know that the Academy was very interested in that film. I have to assume that she carried forward some of those ideas and aesthetics to this one, and which, you know, makes sense. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that get rewarded with some nominations.
What about a film that won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Film, Anatomy of a Fall? Is that one that could get some serious Oscar consideration?
I think it has to, right? Like, I mean, it's been so, like, it, like, we saw, you know, we saw folks, you know, Anatomy of a Fall took the, you know, took home four trophies last night. Like, that's no joke, you know, and I think if nothing else, it's we have a pretty firm front runner for Best International Film. Although there are a couple of other ones I'll be upfront with you, Rich. I will never watch it. But Zone of Interest is one that I think a lot of people find really compelling. But like, it's just like, yeah, I'm kind of done with Nazis.
Yeah,
I think you know what I mean. Like, it's, you know, when they start building compounds, you know, down the road, you're right. Like, you know what? I'm okay.
I don't need to see a movie about them. I know how it went down.
Yep. No, I understand how this story plays out, and it is not good.
Nope.
It's not good for anyone. Mm-mm. So I'm just gonna. It's important. I understand it's important. I'm glad people are still, you know, making sure that story continues to be told. I'm good.
There you go. Alan Adams talking movies with us on Tap 10. Great to have you back.
Always a pleasure, man. It was nice. It's been too long.
Yeah, it has been. Let's do it next week.
Okay.
You got a date. Thanks, Beautiful. Al.
Thanks.
Alan Adams, Pass the Popcorn here on Downtown.